Welcome to No More Booze, the podcast. I'm Olivia Farrelly, and in every episode, I explore the role that alcohol has in our lives. I interview people who have decided to live their life with no more booze. We'll explore their relationship with alcohol, how it made their life better, how it made their life worse, any lessons they've learned along the way, and what advice they would give to others who are contemplating a life without alcohol. So whether you are sober curious, you're sober serious, or you're already living your life alcohol-free, this podcast will provide inspiration and motivation as you begin to untangle and reassess your relationship with the booze. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to No More Booze, the podcast. Today, I have a gorgeous friend of mine. We have been Instagram friends for, oh God, about 2 years now, Nikki. And I couldn't be more delighted to have a chat because, I can't wait for you to hear her story. It is Nikki May, who is in her 40s, living in Dublin, and has been off the sauce for just over a year now. So since December 1st, 2024, and we're approaching 2026 now. We'll be in 2026 next year, next week. Nikki, hello. How are you?
Hi, Olivia. How are you? Thank you.
I'm great. Yeah, you're welcome.
Firstly, I want to say thanks so many for having me on your podcast, and thank you for being you and doing what you do, because I don't think I'd be giving you my story today without having listened to your podcast back in 2023 with Clodagh Campbell. So thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, look, it's like we were just kind of saying before we started recording there, it's bigger, like for me, it's bigger than me. Like, it's not me. Like, I gave up the booze nearly 8 years ago. Big deal. Big whoops. But it's for everybody else who feels like the way I felt, you know, because I know I'm not alone. And, you know, I suppose I was only thinking about this in bed this morning. Like, alcohol is, oh, you know, it's given such a free pass. Oh, my God, it's so glamorous and so much crack. But like, once you scratch the surface, like, it causes so much damage, not just, you know, to society at large, but to like our own individual, very fragile psyches. And as women in our 40s, I suppose we're coming up against enough, as well as having, you know, hangovers to contend with as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to give us just maybe a sense of, I suppose, what alcohol did for you in the beginning?
Good question. I think it gave me a bit of confidence, the confidence that I felt I probably didn't have, even though I would have come across as being very confident. I suppose when I was younger, probably started drinking in fourth or fifth year in school, not much. Three West Coast coolers going to the local disco, and just three little West Coast coolers give me a little boost. Growing up, I didn't have brothers. So my dealing with boys wasn't really that, there wasn't that much. It was basically my sisters. And then, so having those three drinks on a Saturday night really gave me a little bit of a boost that I felt that I needed or might have been lacking somewhere.
I mean, it's funny, I only have brothers and that didn't help me. I often wonder what it's like to have a sister. But anyway, so it gave you a little bit of a boost back
in
the day.
Yeah, it gave me a little boost. And again, it was like I probably felt the worst of it the next day. And I kind of realized I was kind of having conversations or behaving certain ways that I wouldn't normally. And then there was, even at that age, kind of maybe going into school on Monday and having to apologize, you know, to somebody that I might have said something that wasn't me, that was out of character. And that's kind of, I heard in a few of your podcasts, that kind of shame of just, oh God, sorry, didn't mean to say that. Yeah.
And actually, that just reminded me of something. I said something appalling about somebody in a disco toilet, and that person went back and told the person, and that girl hasn't spoken to me in like 20, now I know, like we've all moved on or whatever, but it was an appalling thing to say. And yeah, you regret a lot. And like we were just saying there, like regret stays in your body.
Yeah. It does. And like, even sometimes, like we were talking about this earlier on, people that you see around, you have that regret, like, they're the feelings that you don't get when you don't drink, because you don't have that. And I was listening to one of your podcasts again, and it was that you don't have that shame of what message did I send when you're not drinking, you know? What
Absolutely.
message did I send off my phone?
Yeah, and I think that's probably the one is one of the best reliefs, you know, that we do get or whatever. So, and then your 20s, what did that kind of look like?
20s was college, and actually my college was quite small, so there was a lot of guys in my college, like a lot of guys in my college, probably a lot less girls as well. Again, nights out where a few drinks maybe before you left, a few drinks when you're there, give you a bit of confidence. Like that's always what it was. Like I'm only coming to this now in my 40s, but I think that was it. I was lacking this feeling of, oh, I'm going out, oh, I'll just have a little drink before I go out, then I'll get a few drinks when I'm there, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, you're starting to forget things, you're starting to make a fool out of yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, Olivia, I had great fun. I don't regret. I think like there's a part of me where some of the stuff that I would have done when I was younger, you know, I don't regret it, but I also have regret of things that I might have said to people too, you know.
Yeah, it's a funny balance as well, and
A
as
hundred
you kind
percent.
of yeah, and when we I think your 40s is all about healing and recovering. Well, for me it has been
Oh,
anyway.
I completely agree. Yes.
Yeah, and just kind of unwinding from all of the things. But I also think I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but like I've healed in a relationship with somebody who's died, right, through a psychic medium. Of course I have. A lady called Sandra O'Hara, who has since passed off, but passed on. But no, I went to her. She was on a documentary. She's from Nace, and she was on a documentary called Surviving Death in on Netflix. And I
Yes.
saw her and I found her and messaged her or whatever. We had a Skype, would you believe, shortly before she died. And I ended up managing to heal a relationship with somebody who had passed because I was feeling very guilty. So what I'm trying to say is that we can mend relationships anywhere in any kind of realm of
Yes.
consciousness, not just, and you know, I've repaired a lot of relationships that I felt and maybe that I would have exploited or, you know, just not being myself around. But you know, yeah, definitely. It's definitely the healing era we're in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that gets you to a point where I don't think I could have done this in my 20s. Like I don't. And my 30s, again, when I was in my 30s, I was having kids, but couldn't wait to have the kids so that I could have a few drinks. I'd say the first thing I did when I got out of hospital was have a glass of wine that evening. You know, just dying to sit there in the living room with a big glass of red wine and like, I think when I had my first child, I was so eager to get back having a few drinks. And again, don't get me wrong either. I had a strong kind of moral compass of don't drink during the week. I didn't, unless it was work nights out or whatever, but I would have never drank during the week. Probably even more in my 30s, just wouldn't have drank during the week. You don't open the bottle of wine on the Monday to the Tuesday, Friday, whatever. But Friday is that when I would have had the drink. And then Friday, Saturday. And again, these are evening drinks. So not saying I had a problem, but it's how I felt. And by the time I got to Monday, I was in the gutter. And by Wednesday, I'd be coming around to myself again. And again, just to preface, it's not that I have a problem. It's just how it affected my moods and how low I felt. And Mondays, every Monday, I would have just felt so blue, having had a drink on Friday, having had a drink on Saturday, Sunday just feeling, ugh, and then Monday, oh, you know, I know I'm making like sounds, but like that's kind of how it felt.
And it's funny because obviously alcohol use goes across the spectrum. We have, you know, at the very kind of one end of it, it's the very kind of take it or leave it now and again kind of drinkers, and then the other. And like we all fit along some area of that spectrum if we use alcohol. And like I suppose it's not, you know, I say this a lot, even though I have a label myself as a grey area drinker, but not to put labels on it. But the important questions are like, how's it making you feel? Like you were drinking Saturday and Sunday, you know, not to like massive levels, but to the levels that a huge amount of people will identify with. But still, it was holding you back. It was making you feel groggy, you know,
Trying to
lethargic.
get,
Blech.
yeah, and trying to get out of bed on a Sunday. And then I think what really struck me in the last couple of years is, again, and like I just want to put it across, like I'm not judging anybody else but myself, trying to get out of bed, bring the kids to sports at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's not doable. If you had a drink the night before, like it's just not doable. That's when it really, really started, not to affect me, but I really started to go, I'm going out on Saturday night. I'm not drinking. They're like, I can't, because I can't get up out of bed at 8 o'clock, be in the car and driving if my last drink was at 10, 11, 12. I just can't do
Yeah.
it. Or later.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when did you, when now, having been over a year off the booze, when did you can look at when you got kind of sober curious?
When I listened to your podcast, genuinely, when
Okay.
I listened to your podcast with Clodagh Campbell, it was like a light bulb moment. I don't know what it was. There was various things that you said that just made me go. It was kind of family events and just, oh, I'll have a few drinks in the afternoon, and then my mood would change. That was a light bulb moment for me. I was kind of a little bit curious, but that really was like that was like a football going into a goal. That was just. And I
Yeah.
sat exactly where I'm sitting now today, and I listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, I can relate to so much you said. And what I really related to what you were saying was Australia. Like, I went to Australia years ago, 2008. I was only having a conversation with somebody the other day, and we were talking about something came up on my Instagram, and it was like, all the things that I did when I used to drink, can't believe I'm still here to tell the tale. Like,
Yeah.
there was one night when I don't even know if I should say this, but I was at a party and I was going out with somebody at the time, and had it was a daytime party and had a few drinks. And then, sure, I got like I was sick, basically. I was sick, so I got sick, had to be taken home. But
Yeah.
had a row with the person I was going out with at the time, and then I proceeded as we went outside to I don't know if you're going to include this, want to climb into a skip. I was
Oh
like, you're so annoyed at me. I'm just going to climb into the skip. Empty skip, by the way, Olivia. And like, yes, that's what I'll do. Climb into a skip. I mean, where would you get it? Where would you get
Oh,
it?
it just it but it insane the things we did. I remember in Australia going to a house party, having a half bottle of vodka, right? Getting sick, like every bit of it came up, right? And then I went to a nightclub and drank 16 Baileys because I remember it was $96. And I remember going home at 6 o'clock the next morning, not even drunk, right? And just going, what am I at? And actually in Australia, I had a really bad acid reflux and that was a disaster. Now I managed to, like, I worked in a prison and stuff in Australia. So like I had a great adventure. I really did. But like looking back now, I'm looking to go to Australia next year. But like it just to do it in a really wholesome way. Because to kind of experience it again, but with the fullness and consciousness of like enjoying it for what it is, not, being in Scruffy Murphy's. Scruffy Murphy.
Bondi Junction.
Yeah, exactly. Oh God, the tea rooms, all them horrendous places, the cock and bull. Oh, hate that place. Anyway, so right, so you listen to the podcast, right? April 2023, and is it kind of stopping and starting then, or do you
Oh,
get like,
completely stopping and starting,
okay.
completely stopping and starting. And I suppose for anybody who might listen to this and it might resonate with them, like, because that's what it is. And I listen to lots of various different podcasts on various different topics, but sometimes you just hear something and it resonates with you. So for me, it was like, okay, so I couldn't just go cold turkey. And I just want to preface with, I didn't have a problem, but I just felt my lifestyle was changing, which is things I was telling you, trying to get up early with the kids and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, gonna cut back on the things. I don't really like wine, but wine's easily poured into your glass. I'm gonna start cutting back on the wine. Okay, cut back on the wine. Then I started cutting back on the beer. Let's cut back on the beer. Let's go out. And so I extracted beer, I extracted the wine. The champagne was the hardest one, Olivia. I love my champagne. And as I said to you when you were put up a post on your Instagram about alcohol-free options, for me it was the glass of champagne and the ceremony and the bubbles and everything. So that was the last thing to go for me. But like, I was on again and off again and on the off again the wagon. So I went to a big concert in the summer, I think, of 2023. Was it 2023 or 2024? I can't remember. And I was really, this is it. But fell off the wagon that night royally, like royally. Like, the concert is one of my favorite singers, and I can't remember a lot of that concert because I was drinking champagne, prosecco, whatever, till the cows come home. To a point where I had to go, where I had to go to a funeral the next day, and sitting in the church, the heat was coming up from my toes, and I had to walk out of the church during the funeral. And I proceeded to walk to a bus stop, which was very close to the church, and I had to get sick. So I'd say everybody on the dual carriage race only getting sick. You know, I nearly puked outside the church.
Oh, look at I you're preaching to the choir here, sister. You know,
So.
yeah. No, look at I know, and sometimes there's these watershed moments that we have, and they look like the catalyst to absolute change, absolute change. So, and actually, what I think is really beautiful about your story and will really help people is that kind of stopping and starting bit, you know. So, and the journey of sober curiosity, something
100%.
resonating deep within you, and then like, okay, one last chance, and then it's going to be different this time, or maybe now, you know, that I only drink champagne as opposed to all the other ones, it's going to be different.
Because it's pure. And then, do you know, like again, getting to that point, and then when it got to the champagne or the prosecco, three. Okay, three. You can have three. Once you do three, you're done. Three, you're done. Three, you're done. Because I would have celebrated my husband's birthday, a big birthday, in actually December 2023. And I remember, funnily, I gave myself that three option. Yeah, that was 2023 December. Gave myself the three drink option. Then the kids had sport the next day, and somebody turned around. And I was like, "Oh, he's out for my husband's birthday," and they were like, "She looks very fresh." And I was like, "I only had three drinks." And they're like, "Why? Fair play." And I was like, "I'm trying to cut back drinking. I'm just curious to see how it is." And it's December, so you know, it's funny because they're like, "God, very fresh," you know, and it's 9, half 9 in the morning. I was like, three drinks, and I finished, and I made sure I finished, you know. So it was like what you say in a lot of your podcasts, Olivia. It's trying to like what's you know, have parameters, even when you are drinking. When I was at that point, just okay, I'll do it to this, and then I'll get to that. But I think the hardest part then was to go completely cold turkey and socialize. Like, that was the hardest point. And I suppose, again, for anybody who's listening to this and to get something that might resonate with somebody, for me, when I set out to do this, it wasn't straight away. It wasn't instantaneous. It's not that easy. It wasn't for me. It will be for other people. But my thing was, when I set about to do it, the day that I decided to do it wasn't planned. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just happened, kind of like, and I this kind of phrase of it, what happened organically. But I didn't realize that the last drink that I had was the last drink for when it was. I didn't plan it that way. And it's funny because I have a photo of it. I have a photo of me nearly holding it up and going, cheers. But I didn't plan it. It just happened.
Isn't that mad? And can you give us a sense of like what that night was like, and then what the next day was like, and how it kind of evolved?
Yeah, so the last night we were in a lovely restaurant out for dinner, myself and four of us in total, four friends, myself, my husband, and our other two friends, and again, three drinks, and that was it. Like, I was kind of, maybe I had four, maybe, and I kind of was done. And then we hit December the 1st. So we've lots of birthdays in December. My birthday, as I said to you as well, is in December, and it was really unconscious decision. So I would always have found this kind of real burnout at the end of December. And I always find myself quite overwhelmed in January. And a lot of people that I know be like, oh, do you enjoy January? And that would be really overwhelming for me. So it would be like, so you mean I've had all these birthdays, all this celebration, all of this December fun, and now let's just stop everything. To me, that was just alien. Like, I'm like, why? Why would we do that? We need to, you know, let's have a drink at the weekend. And it's the first weekend. We got through the first weekend of January. So for me, it was also, sorry, coming to the end of December and just feeling totally emotional. Even by the 26th of December, from having so much stuff to do and be at and have a few drinks at, by the 26th of December, I was nearly upset because I'd had the highs of the parties and the enjoyment and the wine and the mulled wine and the champagne. And it was like coming to the top of a roller coaster. And then, because you know, you're at the end of it. Like, I'm very kind of, Christmas to me, like, I don't really like to listen to Christmas music. By the 27th, 28th of December, I'm done. Do you know that way? I'll be putting the tree down. So I think it's all enwrapped in that for me. So this was the first year, from the 1st of December 2024, that I just, again, each day came and went, and each day came and went. And for me, because my birthday's so close to Christmas Day, I was like, oh my God, I did. I went through. It wasn't like I was looking at the clock, I was looking at the bottle. It came and went. Each day came and
Love it.
went last December. And every day that came and went got easier. And not, again, not in a problematic way, just in a way that suited me and how I would have felt after Christmas and like waking up. And even like I was out the other night for, we had a table quiz with a group of people who live close by us, and I just looked in the mirror and I had that sparkle in my eye. And I know how I used to look when I looked in the mirror after a night out. My eyes were always glazed over, bloodshot. Mascara is always down my eyes anyway, but I looked, I had so I went out the other night and I just looked at myself on Sunday morning in the mirror just quickly, and I was like, God, you're still sparkle, you still have that sparkle. And the drinking in December, November too, would have taken that little bit of sparkle for me. And that yeah, so I think that's how it happened for me last December. And I just kept going and kept going.
Yeah. And
And
you know
did
what?
my and get go on.
No, I just love what you said there. Each day came and went.
It did, and it
Yeah.
wasn't a struggle. I didn't put pressure on myself. If I fell off the wagon this time, sure, it's grand, it's December. But actually, I just felt so strongly about it this time that it just, I nearly was gloating in my own head about myself and going, oh, look at you now, you're great. And Christmas Day, been able to drive my family home from wherever we went to my sister's house on Christmas Day. I could drive us home. It was really empowering, Olivia. Like,
Yeah.
really empowering. I know that's the smallest thing, but it really was empowering to be able to do that. Whereas I know Christmases before where I was pushing the kids home in the buggy, because we live close by my sister, and pushing the kids home in the buggy. I might say my husband was like, what are you pushing the buggy for? Just had like, I used to drink Christmas Day, I used to love a glass of champagne and many more. And I remember one Christmas, like pushing the kids home in the buggy, and I'd say my husband was like, ah, I'll take the buggy there, do you know?
Yeah,
And we were
absolutely.
only going down the road, Olivia, but
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think it's more about, and I know you're able to reflect onto this now, but it's more about who Nikki wants to be now. So like if you fast forward 10 years or 20 years, and it's the same for me, who does Olivia want to be? Does she want to be a groggy mess who absolutely hates herself, right? Lethargic, unpredictable, highs and lows, or does she want to be more steady with a lovely wide window of tolerance that I'm able to cope with what life has to give me, or I'm able to, like, I'm sure you can compare and contrast the Nikki of years before compared to now, and there's no comparison.
No, there isn't. There really isn't. Like as we talked about there, just December is just really for me that this is where it's all come together. And again, accidentally, as I said, it wasn't planned, but the December is so overwhelming for me. As I said, we've lots of birthdays, the Santa, there's all sorts of things going on in the background. And for once, for twice actually, because this is my second December, I'm able to hold my own. I think I can anyway. Whereas I just won't have that feeling of waking up and feeling that, oh, that shivery emptiness that I feel. That's my explanation of what it feels for me to have a hangover in December, because it's a bit colder than other months, I suppose. But yeah, it's just I'm going into this for the second time feeling really empowered and actually going, this is easy this time. This is way easier. I've done
Yeah,
this, you know?
absolutely. So then January and all of the months that followed, can you
Well,
kind of,
So
yeah.
January was a holiday, so we went on holidays for a few days. So this was probably going to be and was the first holiday that I went on when I didn't have a drink. So it was
Amazing.
the first holiday going away, 5 days. Let's all have a drink in the afternoon. Let's all have a drink back down by the pool. That's my favorite thing to do, but I didn't do it. I didn't want to, and it wasn't difficult this time because January again, like I was saying earlier on, it's nearly a month that people will be like, oh, don't drink or whatever. I don't drink. I'm off drink. But I would have liked to drink in January. I don't know why, but I didn't have that. I didn't. I was ginger ale. Like again, like even back to when you go to a place that has really good options, drinking options like ginger ale. Oh my God, I could drink it all day. It is just like,
Your
that
savior,
helps. Yeah, savior,
yeah,
definitely.
absolutely. And so you did it all within it, like I'd say a space of 6 weeks. You did Christmas, all the birthdays, first alcohol-free holiday, all of it,
Yeah.
and I suppose that's what, once we get the milestones under our belt, and a
Oh.
year is a great time, and a lot of people say at least 100 days until you get all those milestones under your
Yeah.
belt.
And like 6 months for me, though, Olivia, was really emotional. And again, Just to go back, you were my touch point. We've never met, but you've always been my touch point along this. God love you. But like, I'd be sending you messages. I've done a month. Oh, I feel great because you're great. You always put your stuff up on Instagram and how you feeling today. I think you used to put up little, polls or little, things on Instagram, and I'd always be in there like a shot. And 6 months to me was a big deal, like a big deal. And I have a friend now who is kind of going down that route as well. And they've just done my 6 months, and I said I was really emotional, and I put up a post on my Instagram. Again, people might want to see this, but look, if it helps one person, if it helps one person, I've done my job. And it's not a job for me. It's just if it helps one person. But 6 months, I think, was really emotional for me. I don't know why. It just was. It felt really, again, back to the word, empowering.
I think you're probably helping a lot more than one person, as well. I've talked about meeting somebody in the stairwell of a hotel, and I just said to her, I'm off the booze. And she went, oh. And then I met her 6 months later, and she goes, you said to me you were off the booze in the stairwell, and I haven't drank since. And I was like, that's
Just
mad. Yeah.
unbelievable. Just
And
that
then she
one
dropped
thing.
one thing, one sentence. You know what I mean? So look at, and I know the way alcohol is glamorized in the world, right? There's massive pressure to do it, right? We absolutely look, it's the truth of the matter is alcohol causes so much damage in people's lives, right? In terms of all the things, in terms of like domestic violence, in terms of like social problems, it being really heavy on our healthcare system, A&E on a Saturday night and all that kind of stuff. But like when we, I suppose you're always going to have to come up against people who are like, oh, you're boring, you're this, that, and the other. Have you experienced any of that, or has it all been plain sailing?
Next, like it's been plain enough sailing, but it was like, oh, maybe have one. She can have one. But for me, I really felt I had to, like, this just having the year. And it was like, if I fell off the wagon over the space of the year when I got really into it, say when I got past December, January, February, if I stopped and gave it, like even after 6 months, if I had one drink, I nearly would have felt I was having to go back to the start. It was like a game. It was like a puzzle. So you build, 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 build. It's like, what's that game that you have, you play with the kids, like you're
Big
stacking
ladders.
up, you
Oh
have
no.
no
Oh, Jenga.
like Jenga. And I know the thing's eventually going to fall over, but it was like stacking, 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 stacking. And if you stack, what if you get to 6 months and you have one? So people could say what they wanted, but I think it was the first time that I ever could just say no. I'm in my own lane. Someone can say whatever they want, but I don't care,
Yeah.
Like you get a few comments, but you just have to brush them off. Because the funny thing is, like, and you'll know this, Olivia, you actually start to know a lot of people who are also doing the same thing, but they don't really talk about it as much as I probably do, So I had a lovely conversation with somebody a few weeks ago who was at the same thing as I was, and they were like, I'm 2 weeks in. And I was like, oh, we had a lovely little chat, a lovely little bonding, just chatting about that. It's funny. You can have these conversations with people who are in the same boat, and you don't intend or know that you're going to find that out. But that's been a really nice side to it. And as they said, my friend, I won't name her, but she'll know if she's listening to this who she is. She's 6 months in. So she said, oh, I admire what you've done. And like that makes me emotional because, like, I don't think what I'm doing is it's no different to anybody else. But like, if somebody just goes, oh, I saw what you did, and fair play, I'm going to do it too. It just it's heartwarming, it really
It's
is.
heartwarming, it's life affirming, it's all of the gorgeous things. I had a community meetup at the beginning of December there with a lot of people who are giving up the booze, and there was 13 of us, and I was nervous going into it. It's a kind of semi non-alcoholic bar in Dublin called Board, and it was hopping, right? But we had an actual ball. So, do you know what I mean? So, like, just talking to people, and I think there's a vulnerability that comes with it. So, when you share your guts, everything to people you don't really know, but who are in the same kind of boat as you, then, all barriers are down. You can literally talk to them about anything. And there's a freedom in that too, as well. So, Kamir, tell us then, what have you discovered about yourself in the last year? And what are the things you love about, being alcohol free now?
I can't believe that I did a year. That's I
Yeah.
can't believe that I did a year. I can't believe how a year can go by so fast, and I can't believe I could set my mind to do something and actually follow through with it. So I suppose I think I've a stronger, what's the word, kind of ability to stick to something than I thought that I would.
Yeah.
And that I love doing this for my kids, actually, Olivia. Like, I do. That's what I'm really proud of. I don't like, they don't notice. But do they notice if I've had a drink? I don't know. But I think I've things like that, and even just been able to get out and go for a run. Like, I love running. I don't do marathons or anything like that. But just been able to get out and go for a run in the morning or go for a walk, and just even getting up before everybody else and doing things like that. So I
And
suppose
just,
it's discover multiple things. I haven't taken up any new hobbies or anything yet, because I like, I don't know, but I honestly, I didn't know a year could go so quick. And when you've marked a year with doing something like this, it's unbelievable how fast a year can go.
absolutely. And actually, one of the lads on the he won't mind me saying this, but one of the lads on the who came to our Christmas night out has started a degree and just got the results of his first assignment, and like got a distinction over 90%. Do you know what I mean? So you're saying we discover things about ourselves that we never knew, like, oh my God, I'm consistent. Oh my God, I'm actually cleverer than I thought, more articulate, able to run, able to maybe tougher, maybe more resilient, all of these gorgeous things that are just, we're maybe like alcohol numbs us down. Like it literally numbs us down and behave and help and makes us behave in ways that we wouldn't ordinarily do so. So the when we remove it, it's a joy.
And remember, I was saying, I wanted to say this because I thought it was really interesting. And I, as I said, I listened to loads of podcasts, like, the usual, the Guglow, all that kind of stuff, and those little signs. So, all those, like I said it to you, I was in a lovely hotel in Ireland for my husband's big birthday, and who was staying in the hotel? Only Andy Ramage. And I'd started following him probably through you, and he was sitting behind me at breakfast, which I realized it was him, and then forgot, didn't get to say hello. And then he was sitting, but he was in the same restaurant as us the night before. But like that was like a little, nearly a whisper or a wink of, yeah. I hadn't started fully going into this, but I'd also started listening to you, and that to me was like a little wink and a nudge. I'll forever regret not realizing it was him till he'd gone home or we'd gone home. But I feel like that was little whisper or a little nod to what I should be doing. A bit woo woo, I know, but look.
No, there's no
We all
such
have our
thing as woo
things.
woo. Yeah, no. You're woo woo, you're in the place to be. There's a book called Why Woo Woo Work. No, Why Woo Woo Works. And it's the science of like all the things that are kind of criticized as woo woo. It's by Dr. David Hamilton. Like everyone needs to read that because there's no such thing as woo woo. It's so funny, right? I heard a word yesterday. I was li listening to Yvonne Trakian's podcast about manifesting. And there was a lady on there and she said, our divine right to be, I'll actually find it now. So basically, our divine right to be is we're supposed to be joyful, peaceful, what's it? Just one moment, please. Yes. So it's ours by divine right is to feel love, joy, peace, wisdom, health, comfort, abundance and protection and prosperity. Right? I was like, prosperity. Like I'm a bookworm, right? I've never heard of that word in my life. This happened yesterday, right? I'm listening to this morning, Rhonda Byrne's 21 days to like millions or whatever it's called. The woman mentioned prosperity 7,000 times. I have never heard that word. Have you heard prosperity before?
I would have heard it in all the Christmas cards, the ones that are pre-written, wishing you joy and happiness and prosperity for the new year, the cards your parents would have been getting. And prosperity, yeah, definitely
Heard
saw it
that
on
word.
Christmas cards.
So that's just a sign. So my sign is prosperity. No, I've read 50,000 different signs for different things. But yes, no, our gorgeous signs. And actually, another lady I worked with met him on a plane on the way down to Kerry or whatever, and she took down that as a sign too. So look at, we're coming into the new year. Any advice that you obviously you've spent last new year? Any advice that you give to people now for giving up the booze for dry Jan?
Yeah, I'd say don't put yourself under pressure. Do you know
Yeah.
that kind of way? Like I feel like I remember seeing a lot of stuff on Instagram and reading a lot of stuff last year. Like we're going into the darkest night of the year till the 21st of December. Then in January we're supposed to be New Year, New You. Just ease yourself in. Like don't, I think putting pressure on yourself is the worst thing that you can do and go, you know, for some people it works, for some people it doesn't, but go easy, you know, be gentle. Like January is a dark month. Keep up the twinkly lights, you know. Just find if you are trying to do dry January, just go easy. Maybe you'd start on the second or the third. Don't start on the first if it's too much pressure, because that number itself, just I don't know. Sometimes it's like a monkey on your back. So just go easy. Find drinks that you really like, wholesome drinks, warm drinks. And again, as I was saying to you, Olivia, having things in the house like. Even sometimes it's the way a glass is or a cup or something that sits in your hand and gives you comfort. So stock up with stuff that makes you feel like, again, there's so many non-alcoholic lovely things now. And I'm seeing it even more because I've been going to places and sometimes you're really disappointed, aren't you, with the selection? But there's this new, this natural wine, 0%. I think it's actually called Naturel. And I've had it the last, I went to a concert, I went to 5 weeks ago, and I had the glass of wine, but, and it's gorgeous. So, it's the ceremony. So sometimes drinking out of a glass that might, again, that might be triggering for some. It's not for me, but it's just maybe the ceremony of how you go about it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And just that kind of, and kombucha is something that I really love as
Oh,
well. And
yeah.
it's very wholesome too. So like I'll definitely go hard with the kombuchas or like the lovely little cordials or whatever. Yeah. But it is it is the great, well, you know, everyone knows this about me. It's the greatest thing that I have ever done.
Yeah,
Right.
no, I would say it was the best thing that I've done for myself. Now, I was very gloaty about it, and it's like, hey, do you know Nicola's off the drink? Because she'll tell you. Like, I tell everyone I've listened. I told my mum the other day, I was like, Mum, I got to a year. I was actually a little emotional saying it to her on the phone. She goes, well done. Good on you. You
Yeah.
know? So,
Or and next thing, how do you know Olivia has gone off the drink? Well, she's a fucking podcast, and like she'll tell the actual world, you know?
Or Nicola, she's putting up a reel. She's putting up a reel. She's telling the world that'll be me. Yeah. Hey, do you know she's doing something out of the ordinary or different? She's putting up a reel. So I put up a
Yeah.
reel. But like the reel for me just felt like the right thing to do. And
Yeah.
you know, it's nearly what's the word like cathartic for me. It just felt it's like drawing a line in the sand or like ticking off your list. It just felt like the right thing to do for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, we're as pure as the driven snow now, but like you can't believe the absolute benefits that have happened in your life. I couldn't believe it. The 100 people who've been on the guests preview or
Can't,
as
yeah,
guests can't
and
believe.
congratulations on 100. Like, that's
Oh yeah.
amazing, Olivia. And like, the other thing is, and this is like, it's like nearly a secret for the women and the men too, but your skin will be glowing. Like, it
Yeah.
really, like, does really. I can honestly tell you, as a person who suffers from dry skin, psoriasis on my hands, whatever, my face like glows more than it would have. December, I just look gray. Every December, I look gray, Olivia. Yeah,
Yeah,
gray, gray from the
not
drink.
anymore. Great
Not
from the
anymore.
drink. Well, thank you. I'm so proud of you,
Thank
Nikki,
you.
because I
Thank
have
you.
been part of your journey. Like we've been pals
And
for,
you're the
yeah.
reason, Olivia. You're the reason. And like, you helped so many people, I'm sure. And you said that yourself, you probably don't even know it. Like, these people listening from all over the world, all over Europe, all sorts of places. And like, thank you for what you do. Like, there's not a lot of people out there who do what you do. And it's amazing the gift that you're giving to people and the inspiration. What you're doing, like, you should be proud of you. Well, you are proud of yourself, and you are amazing. It's amazing.
Thanks,
Yeah.
Nikki. No, it is. It's and you know, I learned a long time ago doing this that it's not about me. I'm just a funnel to help other people. Do you know what I mean? Reach their full potential, you know, and like I'm still not reaching mine, but like I'm a damn sight better than
Looks
what I
like you
was.
are from here. Looks like you are from here. You're doing amazing.
Well, come here, Nikki. Where can people find you if they want to follow you and follow more of your journey?
And so, yeah, like I'm on Instagram doing a few bits. Inspired by Nikki is the tagline. I did set up a kind of a sober Instagram page, which I haven't really used that much, but it's called None for the Road. And I actually enjoyed coming up with that with my 16-year-old nephew lying on a lilo on our holidays, my drink-free holiday in the summer where drink was included. And I said, no, 7 days in a row, no, thank you, I won't have a drink. So that was tough. But I think myself and my nephew got great crack out of coming up with the name. So None for the Road. But look, again, Inspired by Nikki is the one that I use most often, and that's where all my followers are. So yeah.
Amazing. Okay, thank you.
Thank
And
you.
it's been amazing.
Thanks, Olivia.
No More Booze, the podcast, is produced, mixed, and mastered at the studios of Irish Audio Drama. For more information, visit irishaudiodrama.com.